and wisdom. Amen. That has nothing to do with the sermon. I just like the picture, so I wanted to use it. I won't tell you that Andy Hunger sent that to me this morning. Go ahead, Brother Shaw, put the next one up. Today I'm talking to you about worship. We're in the Gospel of John, the fourth chapter of John. We'll look at verses 23 and 24. In this fourth chapter of John, the Bible tells us that Jesus had traveled to Samaria, to a city called Sychar. And he's there at Jacob's well, and he sends his disciples into town to get some food. And he's just sitting there at Jacob's well, and a young Samaritan woman comes up to him and asks him, didn't say anything to him, rather Jesus asked her, and says, could you draw some water for me to drink? You got to understand, a man in that culture never spoke to a strange woman. That just never happened. You didn't speak to a strange woman. That wasn't appropriate. And on top of that, a Jew never would speak to a Samaritan. So, you know, the Lord is just going past all these cultural niceties as he sits at Jacob's well, and this is a Samaritan woman he doesn't even know. And he's speaking to her, and he says, could you give me some water to drink? And he says, well, how is it that you are talking to me? I mean, you're not supposed to be talking to me, are you? I'm a woman of Samaria. You're supposed to be talking to me. And Jesus responded to her, and he said to her, he said, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If you knew who I was, you'd have asked me for some living water that'll give you eternal life. So this woman, she hears this, and she couldn't believe it. And so, again, she's having this conversation with the Lord, and he says to her, whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Well, you know the next thing she says, give me some of that water. I want some of that. That's what we should be saying, too, by the way. All of us should be saying, give me some of that water. And Jesus spoke to her, and he said, well, go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus looked at her, and he said, you've spoken well. In fact, you've had five husbands, and the fellow that you're living with right now is not even a husband to you. You're just living with him. And she suddenly realized that this was no ordinary man. And she said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And then she tries to change the subject a little bit. You know, it's a little uncomfortable for her. I perceive you're a prophet. By the way, I understand you're a Jew. You're a prophet. And you Jews, y'all worship in Jerusalem, don't you? She's trying to go down another road. Jesus said, that's true. We know who we worship, but you don't even know what or who you're worshiping. You see, now Jesus could have judged her. He could have judged her, but she'd already had enough judgment. She needed help, not judgment. Amen? She needed kindness, not criticism. She needed love, not rejection. Because Jesus was the living water. He had exactly what she needed. So that takes us to our scripture text in John, in verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now look at this last part of verse 23. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. It goes on then. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Let His anointing be here on this ministry, this sermon this morning. Please take note that the word must is there. The Lord is telling you and me today, if we're listening, we must worship Him. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Why are those additional qualifications added? Because the Lord is saying, don't go through the motions. Don't just do it out of routine. Don't just do it because Dad did it and Granddad did it and they always have done it, so we're going to do it. Do it out of a sincere reality to truly worship Him in spirit. In our spirit, lifted up in worshiping Him and in truth of who He is. It's also interesting to note that the Word says that the Father seeketh such to worship Him. That there's another verse I want you to look at it in Luke 19 and 10. We have it for you. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Praise God for that. Amen. God is seeking those, and through His Son Jesus, to seek out those that are lost, that they might come to eternal salvation, eternal truth. But we have just read here in John's Gospel that the Father is seeking those to worship Him. Just as the Son is seeking the lost, the Father, according to the Word of God, is seeking the us, seeking those on the earth that would worship Him. Can't you just see God looking down on the world and saying, there's a lot of folks that say they love me. There's a lot of folks that say they know me. There's a lot of folks that say they're born again and they're saved. But I'm looking for those born again believers that are worshiping me, is what the Lord is saying when it says that the Father is seeking such to worship Him. As we look at this subject of worship today, the very word worship means adoration. Don't you love that? Adoration, we adore Him. Worship is further described in our next scripture verse in Lamentations 3, in verse 41. I love this verse. I'm using today, you may have noticed, I'm using a little different Bible. I'm using the King James Bible. Normally I use the New King James. But I'm using this beautiful King James Bible that Steve and Sheila gave me. It's a Patriot Bible. I love this Bible. It's wonderful. I'm using this King James Version because in this specific verse in Lamentations, it's got a word in here that the other version suddenly thought maybe it meant something else or they changed it. But I love this word. It says, lift up our heart with. You see the word with. Lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Now, if you look at the New King James, the New Living, and the other translations, it'll say, lift up our heart and our hands. I don't know why it went from with to and, but I love this in this King James, this early English translation, because I think they got it right. I think what that word is saying, no matter what your heart feels like, whatever the despair, the discouragement, the fear, the anxiety, the depression, the sense of loneliness, whatever it is in your heart, you can lift up your heart when you lift up your hands to our Savior. Lift up our hearts when we lift our hands to Him. We lift up our hearts when we say, I'm lifting my hands to worship Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. There is a wisdom. There is a spirit in that word for us today. If we'll just receive it. When we worship Him, we give praise and honor and glory and adoration to Him. But worship must have a basis. A basis. Pastor, what do you mean by a basis? It must have a foundation or a purpose or a reason behind it. And I share with you just three quick points this morning. The first one is relationship. Relationship. The relationship is so important because we understand that we know God intimately through His Son Jesus. And that we have a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, our Creator, and with our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's our best friend, isn't He? Is Jesus your best friend? He's the best friend who said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's the best friend that's with us in the dark valleys and in the moments of despair and discouragement. He's the Savior that took our sins to that old rugged cross. He took our sickness and our sorrows to that cross to bear them on that cross for you and me. And we have a relationship with Him. It is Jesus who has baptized us with His Holy Spirit and put within us rivers of living water flowing out of us. Part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to teach us to worship Jesus and our Heavenly Father. Oh, it is. Now just think about, we're talking about a relationship. We have a relationship with Jesus, our intimate friend, who's often been referenced in the Bible as the chief cornerstone and the Son of Righteousness and the living bread. We have a relationship with He who is the sure foundation. We have a relationship with the light of the world, with the sower and the Lord of the harvest. That is our personal friend. We know Him intimately. We have a relationship with Jesus that's often referred to as the lily of the valley, the living precious stone, the bright and morning star, the giver of rest, the gentle shepherd. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is our kinsman Redeemer. He is our great physician. He is the Lion of Judah. He's the Lamb of God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. We have a relationship with Him today, and that relationship is a basis for worshiping who He is. Oh, hallelujah. He is worthy of our worship today. The second point this morning is the measure. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 1. We have it on the overhead for you as well. The measure. Now, what were you talking about? Measure. We're talking about this basis of worship. Revelation 11, verse 1. And there was given to me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, now look at this last part, and them that worship therein. The angel of the Lord is saying to John in this vision to measure the house of God, measure the altar, and then he concludes by saying, and measure them that worship therein. How can you, we know how to measure physically things, like, well, the altar is this broad and this wide, the building's this tall and this big. How do you measure them that worship? You measure by the following ideals: sincerity, wholeheartedness, love, dedication, consecration, sanctification, holiness, by the Spirit. Those are the measurements, if you would. It's only a partial list of the things that where it says, and measure them that worship therein. The Word of God is saying that there should be a sense of measure. We measure our worship. Is it wholehearted? Is it sincere? What is the measure of your worship this morning? By the way, in that scripture we're reading, it's not a suggestion, it's an order. Take this reed and measure. Take this and measure. Do a self-examination and measure your heart. Are you worshiping in sincerity, in wholeheartedness, and in consecration? Is it genuine? Is it real? Is it of the Spirit? Do you mean it? Is the measure of your worship. What is the measure of your worship? When I was a young man in college at First Assembly of God in Mesquite, Texas, we had a youth group, you've heard me mention it before, that we formed this group we called the Sounds of Victory. We kind of fashioned ourselves after the World Action Singers at Oral Roberts University. Y'all remember them, the World Action Singers? We'd listen to those Sunday morning. Well, we had about 15 singers. We had a little band and two trumpet players and a baritone player, trombone, flute, and a clarinet, and a drummer, and a bass guitar, and then about 15 singers. And we just thought we were special, you know what I'm saying. And we made a couple of albums and had our pictures out. We'd travel to churches and sing and minister. We're all high school and college students, and we loved it. We had a great time. One thing we noticed when we went to different churches and ministered, that it seems like the congregation always got more fired up when we played the faster songs. Our theme song, by the way, was Victory in Jesus. And we did that, but we jazzed it up just a little bit. You know how young folks are. We sped it up, and we liked it. And the congregations always enjoyed it. We always knew if we got a fast song going, that seemed like it just kind of get them revved up. And there was a joke among us in that group that it says that sometimes it seems like God only blesses in 4-4 time. Y'all know what I'm saying. God only blesses in 4-4 time. Meaning that when the atmosphere is just right and the music's just right and everything's going just right, then people get excited, and because the environment has an influence on our feelings, our emotions, and worship, doesn't it? It does. But see, that also can lead to these kind of comments. Well, I can't worship unless I feel like it. Right? I can't worship unless I feel it in me. I can't worship unless I feel the move of the Spirit. And I don't want to worship unless I feel it. That's completely wrong thinking, by the way. Please hear this point this morning. Our worship of God and His Son Jesus is not based on our feelings. It is not based on those little goosebumps at a particular moment, or a little thrill or a little excitement that suddenly comes over us. Our worship is not based on that. Now, the Holy Spirit may flow upon us and that may happen, but our worship cannot be based on just that. Our worship is based on who He is. Our Savior, our Creator, our Heavenly Father. When we worship, it's not whether I feel like it or not, or this is good or this is bad, but we pause and we say, God is my Father. Jesus is my Redeemer and my Savior. And because of who they are, I worship You. I worship You. Not based on just our feelings. What is the measure of your worship? The Bible gives us beautiful examples in 2 Samuel 12 and 20. You know, David had committed adultery and he was involved in the murder of a man so he could marry the woman and hide his sin. And she has a baby, and the baby is born and it's dying. And David is on his knees praying day after day for this son, that God would spare the son. But finally he gets word that the little boy has died. You know the story. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 12 and 20, then David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. His son has just died. His heart is broken. He's feeling the consequences of his sin. It is one of the lowest points in David's life. Do you think he felt, oh, wow, this is exciting? Of course not. He felt the grief and the agony of the loss of his son. But in the midst of that, he knew that he must worship God. And he did. What a great example for you and me, whatever we're in, whatever the phase, the darkness, the valley, the situation, just stop and worship Him. Amen. Job was another great example. The Bible tells us he was the richest man in the East. He had 10 children. Oxen and donkeys were stolen. That fire burned up his sheep and his servants. And the Chaldeans came and stole all of his camels. And a wind came and blew over his house. And all his children died. Here in Job 1 and 20, look at after all this happened, look what it says. Then Job arose, rent his mantle. That means he tore his clothes. In that culture, that was a sign of mourning and grief. Tore his clothes, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell on the ground and worshiped. Everything he thought that mattered, that valued, is gone. This man is broken inside in his heart. He's grieving and he's worshiping in the midst of that. That's God's examples for us. What's the measure of your worship? Is it just when things are going good? Never, ever allow life, circumstances, and events to stop you from being a person of worship. He is always worthy. He is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is worthy of that worship today. He's worthy of it. By the way, you notice in Job's situation, it says that in the last chapter of Job, in verse 12, it says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Whatever you're dealing with this morning, whatever situation you're struggling with, just remember this. God is going to see you through it. And His hand is going to be with you if you just keep trusting in Him. The third point today is unconditional. We know unconditional. That means that we love people unconditionally. We love our children unconditionally. Oh, we might get mad at them or disappointed at them, but that doesn't change our love for them. It's without condition. No matter what, we still love them. So we know what we look at this word unconditional means. In the book of Exodus, we have this verse for you, Exodus 4, verses 30 and 31. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that He had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and they worshiped. All they had heard was that God was going to help them and that God was with them, and He knew what was going on and He was there and He had come to help them in the form of Moses. Now, they started worshiping and their situation hadn't changed at all. You follow me here for just a minute? Their situation hadn't changed. They're still in bondage. They're still making brick. It's even worse now because they don't have any straw to make brick with. Now they got to go find stubble, and the number of bricks they got to make hasn't gone down. And so their situation actually gets worse, but they bowed their heads in worship based on what? Based on the word of the Lord and the promise of God. Are you getting that part today? See, our situation and our circumstances, in every case, there's a promise of God. And He said, I'm with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll hear your prayers. I'll answer your prayers. I'm your God. I'm with you. And the children of Israel, in that beautiful example, they worshiped. They heard a message. They believed it. They had faith. When they worshiped at that moment, they worshiped in faith. Believe in God and His Word and His promises. Oh, God, help us to do that. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, look at the Word of God here with me this morning. If you can see this, a little bit smaller. Those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sit on the throne who liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, can't you just see that picture? Oh, hallelujah. Cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. The emphasis in this scripture is He is worthy. Oh, hallelujah. When we're going to be in heaven, we'll be in there and we'll be part of that group that worships and worshiping and is giving worship and praise to our Redeemer, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, and we'll be declared to Him, Thou art worthy. He's worthy now. He's worthy this morning. In another scripture in Revelation 5, 11 through 12, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands. Oh, can you see that picture? Thousands and thousands saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We say amen to that. Worthy is the Lamb. Listen to me. It's unconditional. It's unconditional because He is always continually worthy because of who He is and what He's done for us and His promises to us. Our Heavenly Father, according to that earlier scripture text, is seeking worshipers today. Our Heavenly Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. No matter what your situation is, the Word of God is telling us that if we lift up our hands, that we lift up our hearts. Did it not say, lift up your hearts with lifting of your hands? That's what the Word gave us. There's a scripture in Isaiah 61 and 3. You're familiar with this word. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Some of you are dealing with some heaviness in your spirit right now. Some of you are dealing with some uncertainty or anxiety or even fear. Some of you are dealing with some issues that is like a dark valley and you just keep going through it and you're still there. Whatever it may be, the Word of God is telling us, if we'll hear Him, worship. Just worship Him. But lift your hands and you lift your heart. When you have this spirit of heaviness, just begin to praise Him. Begin to worship Him. The situation may not have changed. It may not change when you get through. But if you'll just begin to worship Him, it will begin to lift your heart and your spirit, and that you'll be in the presence of God. The Word reminds us that God inhabits the praises of His people. Do you believe that today? Now, I realize this as we conclude this sermon today, that not everyone has been in a church or grown up in a church or been accustomed to worship in a church where people lift their hands. Okay, I understand that. Everybody has some differences in their background. But at the same time, we've all saw the Word of God in Scripture remind us that by lifting our hands, we lift our hearts in worship. If we do that in sincerity, not based on feeling, but of who God is. So I'm going to conclude today. We're going to just sing these songs a cappella with just our voices. And I'm going to lead us off, and we're going to just worship for a moment. I want you to stand with me this morning. And I encourage you, every one of you here today, even though you may not have been accustomed to doing that, just in faith and in worship of who God is, as we begin to sing these songs, just lift your hands. Just lift your hands and worship, and it'll lift your heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Sing it again with me. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Lord. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Go ahead, Brother Shaw. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'll sing your praises. And I'll reign with you throughout eternity. Do you believe that this morning? Is that the song of your heart today? Sing it with me one more time and sing it with all your heart. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'll sing your praises. And I'll reign with you throughout eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you this morning. We worship you. You are worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, the Holy Spirit is speaking to someone in this place today. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. God knows the cry of your heart. He's saying, I've heard you. I'm answering you. You know my answer. Hear from me. Be obedient. Follow my direction. Know that what I'm placing in your heart that you know is from God. Follow me, he says. I will guide you and you will hear from heaven. In Jesus' name, we believe that this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. Praise God. What a great day in God's house today. Amen. Aren't you glad you're in the church? Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for being with us today. Again, I welcome first-time guests, returning guests. Thank you so much for being with us. It's an honor to have you come and worship with us. We say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And I encourage you to come back. If you're looking for a home church, we encourage you to come back and visit us with us again. Brother Perry Pirtle, so good to have you. Would you dismiss us in prayer today, sir?
Father, we thank you for this day and message. And I pray that your presence will be felt by everyone here. I pray that those people